VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Friends, thank you for joining us today on Crosstalk, and we've got a lot of information to unpack on the program today. I hope you can stay with us throughout. Since Friday of last week, when the constitutionalist and the United States Supreme Court overturned Roe, there are at least 12 states that have begun protecting lives, with more to come July 24th, with statutory 30-day enactment delays when those have been fulfilled. Also, we have LifeNews.com reporting that at least 40 abortion facilities have halted abortions or are no longer scheduling appointments. Other developments are taking place as well. Just moments before coming on air, we received a breaking news report from WTMJ Channel 4 in Milwaukee that Wisconsin's Democratic Attorney General just filed a lawsuit challenging the abortion ban that is on our books here, that's been on our books for over 170 years here, and is just challenging that now in the courts. We're going to have discussion on the aftermath of last Friday's discussion and decision from the court. We're going to be taking a look at some of the other Supreme Court decisions this month, and we're going to be looking at the Biden administration's attempt to hijack Title IX to actually destroy girls' sports and what was crafted to save girls and be a help to girls. Well, joining us today, we do welcome back constitutional attorney Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. And as you know, folks, Matt has three landmark cases before the U.S. Supreme Court, one of which just came this year, which we've talked about previous. Matt, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. It's good to be with you. What an exciting time to be alive.
Oh, it is exciting, Matt. And we're going to begin with last Friday's court decision overturning Roe. We're not going to do a big review of that decision. And listeners, if you miss that, go to last Friday's Crosstalk. You can hear the interview we did with Matt. But, Matt, it didn't take long for a number of states to take this immediate action, the trigger law going into effect, and more to come after a 30-day enactment delay in others. All these abortion clinics shutting down. Truly good news.
Oh, it's really good news. A lot of activity is taking place. But, you know, the battle now is really intensified, both in Congress with regards to trying to stop any abortion bill that would force abortion on the states. There's a lot of activity in Congress trying to push that through. On the state level, you have a number of states that have these laws that were in effect before Roe that were never repealed. But they've been essentially in a hiatus, and now they're going to come back into effect now that Roe is gone. And then you also have some of these states that have trigger laws that actually passed after Roe came down, but they were waiting for Roe to actually come into effect. Plus, there's federal lawsuits that were blocking existing abortion restrictions. Those are being dissolved, so those laws go into effect. Even though some of them may not be total bans on abortion, like a six-week ban is essentially a total ban on abortion because you wouldn't even generally know that you're pregnant at that early stage. So there's a lot of activity going across the country. And there's also lawsuits now to try to stop these laws from going into effect. And we see that in Utah and Louisiana. There's also one in Texas. And now in your state of Wisconsin, your attorney general has also filed a lawsuit as well. More will be coming.
Well, Matt, President Biden, he was just clearly agitated last Friday that states would no longer allow the murdering of children in the womb. I mean, he took to the airwaves indicating Roe was on the ballot this fall. Let's just hear what he said, and we'll get your comment here.
The only way we can secure a woman's right to choose and the balance that existed is for Congress to restore the protections of Roe v. Wade as federal law. No executive action from the president can do that. And if Congress, as it appears, lacks the votes to do that now, voters need to make their voices heard. This fall, we must elect more senators and representatives who will codify women's right to choose into federal law once again. Elect more state leaders to protect this right at the local level. We need to restore the protections of Roe as law of the land. We need to elect officials who will do that. This fall, Roe is on the ballot.
Matt Staver.
Well, Roe, I think, is essentially on the ballot, but it's always been on the ballot, and it's going to be even more so. You know, the problem for Democrats is there's at least a million, and I think that's an undercount, of people who have switched from independent and Democratic to Republican because the Democratic Party has become so one, you know, issue party, and that is a party that just pushes this radical abortion agenda. So, you know, the American people are rejecting that. And, you know, the fact is, when people realize what abortion really is, that Roe allowed abortion through all 9 months of pregnancy, just up to the very moment of birth, people don't realize the evil face of abortion and that it really is the destruction, the ripping apart of innocent human beings all the way through 9 months. That's Roe v. Wade.
Matt, President Biden is reportedly offering this new benefit to now allow federal employees to use sick leave if they or one of their family members need to travel for what he calls medical care. To me, it's really appalling. Time off to go kill your baby. I mean, but he's looking to make this happen for federal employees.
Well, you know, we saw how much these employers care desperately and so deeply, how much they love their employees during these COVID mandates. They could care less about these individuals. Mm-hmm. You know, people that have been working with them for many years, decades, and maybe some of them are just a little bit short of retirement age, they were willing to kick them out. They did kick them out. They had no sympathy for them because they don't really care for them. In fact, they'd rather get the older workers out of there and bring in younger workers so they wouldn't have to pay a higher wage. They don't care about them. All they care about is their profit. So when these employers say they will give you money to the mothers in order for the mothers to kill their children so you won't miss any time off from work, rather than give you time off from work, which is what's required by federal law. In other words, they don't want to give you the time to be a mother. They don't want you to be away from the place of work. They would rather kill your children, pay you to do so you could jump back into the workplace and you can go through their, you know, 8-hour day or however long they're going to, you know, put you at the wheel so that they can make a profit. I mean, that's the despicable nature of what's happening, and women and others across the country ought to just really cry out and say, you despicable companies, you're paying to kill the children of these mothers so that you can continue their slave labor and continue your profits off of them.
Well, Matt, it's not only the federal government. You point out it's the corporations as well, the companies. I mean, LifeNews.com it refers to an Orange County Register story that ran just recently of this new employee benefit that Disney is giving. Will pay travel expenses so employees can go and kill their unborn babies. They don't use that term. They say quality health care. But, I mean, while dads and moms take their children to Disney, can it be, Matt, that the proceeds of their ticket sales are helping to fund those who desire to go kill their children?
Yeah, can you imagine that? You take your little child to Disney and have a wonderful time as a family, but then you realize, well, wait a minute, the money that I just paid, the high-priced tickets now that they now charge, it's going to be used to kill unborn children. I mean, Disney, of all places, should know better, but it seems like they've just gone completely insane. And some of the federal government talk that's coming out of Biden of what he's trying to do, thinking about putting abortion clinics on federal land, you know, that's going to cause some real constitutional and legal problems. The fact is, this is a death culture that is so blind to the reality that they think that you just have to have abortion in order to exist. The fact is that abortion is the killing of innocent children. And any entity, any company, any administration, any politician that supports that is just, you know, completely pushing evil.
Matt, and it's not just Disney. I mean, the Washington Stand indicates there are some 56 companies that are now changing their health care policies that include thousands of dollars for abortion stipends and travel reimbursements. And they give, I mean, look at some of these companies, Adidas, Airbnb, Amazon, American Express, Apple, AT&T, Bank of America, Chobani, Citigroup, Dick's Sporting Goods, DoorDash, Grubhub, Hewlett-Packard, Johnson & Johnson, J.P. Morgan, Kroger's, Live Nation, Lyft, Macy's, MasterCard, Microsoft, Netflix, Nike, PayPal, Sony, Starbucks, Tesla, Uber, Zillow, and many others. I mean, it's just staggering to see these companies that are lining up to really destroy, you know, their future customers.
Yeah, they're not only destroying their future customers, they're destroying the families. Some of those women will die. Some of those women will be completely infertile. Some of those will have psychological repercussions. Some of those are going to have physical repercussions as well, infertility and so many other things. But, you know, these companies, they just want to, you know, drain the last ounce of sweat out of their workers so that they can continue to make a profit. So they're, you know, willing to pay people to literally kill their children. I mean, how incredibly evil is that? Imagine if they said, you know, we would actually take your six-month-old child. I know that you have to find a babysitter and all that, and you have to, you know, take time off when the baby is sick. Let's just get rid of that inconvenience, and why don't we just send it over to a different state, and we'll just get rid of it, take care of it for you. That's no different. It's no different. It's the same thing. This is the brutality of these companies. These companies and these states that go down this road, they will not be blessed. They will ultimately be complicit with the shedding of innocent blood. And we'll look back on those companies just like we look back on some of the things that happened during Nazi Germany and say, shame on you. How in the world did this ever happen?
And yet to see the vitriol, Matt, I mean, you can almost see the veins popping out on the likes of Senator Liz Warren. She was on ABC this week. And saying that the Supreme Court has lost its legitimacy. Here's what she had to say.
This court has lost legitimacy. They have burned whatever legitimacy they may still have had after their gun decision, after their voting decision, after their union decision. They just took the last of it and set a torch to it with the Roe versus Wade opinion. I believe we need to get some confidence back in our court, and that means we need more justices on the United States Supreme Court.
Court packing, Matt.
Yeah, she's insane to say that.
Yeah.
This is, you know, Pocahontas is what President Trump called her. But to say that, you know, okay, so the Democrats packed the court today. Well, then after November, then the Republicans packed the court. And then the Democrats, they get in control, and then they pack the court. And then the Republicans get in control, and they pack the court. And eventually we'll have several hundred people on the court, and it just makes no sense. So, I mean, this, it's just completely insane thinking that these people have, that they're so committed to abortion. Let me ask her, where in the Constitution, we'll just ask her the same question that Justice Thomas asked when the case was being argued in December of last year. Ask the legal counsel representing the abortion groups, where in the Constitution is the right to abortion? Can you just point me to some provision, maybe several provisions? Give me something.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't do it. You know, Senator Warren, show me in the Constitution where a right was taken away. Schumer, show me where there's a constitutional provision. It's not there. There was no right taken away. This was never part of the Constitution.
And folks, I mean, what Matt said earlier in his comments, they're actually suggesting that they build Planned Parenthood clinics in national parks. I mean, you've got the likes of AOC saying that we need to go build clinics on federal lands in red states. You know, we're going to show them. Folks, this is all underway. And then we have the likes of Governor Tony Evers of Wisconsin offering clemency to anyone charged under the state's law banning most abortions. We just had our attorney general just minutes ago file a lawsuit here against our abortion law. Friends, much more to come. We're just going to have a little bit more on this issue. Then we're going to be looking at some of the other Supreme Court issues that have come out here in recent days as well. But when we come back from the break, whatever happened to this leaker and the investigation into the leaker? Back in 1 minute here on Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, was the extinction of dinosaurs caused by an asteroid hitting the Earth?
Chris, this is a favorite evolutionary claim that some 65 million years ago, an asteroid smashed into the Earth and sent the dinosaurs into extinction. But did you know that a lot of evolutionists deny this? Some are now saying that the dinosaurs were already going into extinction before the asteroid hit. You see, it's really difficult to reconstruct unobserved history. But the Bible gives us the key. The Bible tells us that God created all the animals, including the dinosaurs, during creation week. Most of them were wiped out in the great flood of Noah's day, and the fossils are primarily those animals that died in the flood. Two of each kind survived on board Noah's ark, but many of them, of course, have gone extinct since then. You see, Chris, everything fits into the back-to-Genesis view of history.
Thanks for joining us for Back to Genesis.
Constitutional attorney Matt Staver with us today on Crosstalk. Folks, check out their website. Stay informed. LC.org. That's stands for Liberty Council. LC.org. Matt, we're hearing very little about this investigation of who leaked this from the Supreme Court. I mean, we did have last Thursday Senator Cassidy, give us this legislation that would hold future leakers accountable with up to a $10,000 fine, 10 years in prison for giving out information about pending decisions. But are you aware, is there aggressive action that's still underway to find out who the leaker is?
You know, I know that there's action underway. I don't know the extent of it because they're keeping that very close to the vest, and I don't know whether or not they will actually make that public. I hope they do, and that this person is punished for what he did or she did, but I don't know the status of it. We're keeping in very close contact with different sources that we have, but we don't have any definitive answer as to where this investigation is at this point.
Have you noticed, though, Matt, how little is being said or reported by the media on pro-abortion violence all across this country?
Yeah, almost nothing, because they don't want to show the evil face of abortion. But what we're seeing is the evilness and the anger and the death directed towards those that we can't see, those in the womb. I mean, you can see them when they're pulled apart and reassembled on the abortionist table, which they won't show you that because they don't want to show you. They'll show you a whale that's butchered, but they won't show a baby that's butchered because they don't want to have you see the real issue. But here, they're just ignoring all the violence. I mean, you've got an organization that calls itself Jane's Revenge. You've got also Ruth Sentis, and they're actually saying what they're doing. They've also taken credit for what they've done, and they're doing nothing.
Yeah.
They can easily find out who's behind those by looking at URLs and tracking down the original sources of these postings. But they're taking credit, like Jane's Revenge, for multiple violence and damage and even firebombings of pro-life centers around the country. And they're saying that this, you think graffiti and firebombings are something? Wait, you're going to see more. And they're threatening even greater violence. Nothing's being done to them by this administration, and nothing's being said by the media.
Matt, we've got so much more to unpack here today. Yesterday, we saw another advancement of religious liberty. Supreme Court ruled 6-3 in favor of a high school football coach. Coach Kennedy, tell us the story.
Yeah, this is a great decision. It's a bookend to the case that I argued and that we got a decision on 9-0, the Shurtleff versus City of Boston case. And in fact, in that particular case, the same argument was raised, and that is, well, we have to censor religious viewpoints, because if we don't, it would violate the Establishment Clause or the Lemon Test that the Supreme Court invented back in 1971, and therefore we have to do it. 9-0 decision said, no, not only do you not have to do it, it's unconstitutional to do it. It violates the Free Speech Clause. I said then that that case will be the foundation of a win in Kennedy, and indeed it was. In fact, the Kennedy case cites the Shurtleff case multiple times for that proposition. And what happened in the Kennedy case is they say the free speech and free exercise clauses, they join together in that case, and that Coach Kennedy has the right to offer a private prayer on the football field. It rejected the Establishment Clause, so-called Lemon Test, that's the gloss that the Supreme Court put on the Establishment Clause. They rejected that and buried it. They said in doing so that they cited our case, Shurtleff. So what it said was, the First Amendment has three clauses. They're not at war with one another. You have free speech, free exercise, and Establishment Clause. But the Supreme Court had made the Establishment Clause warring against the other two, free speech and free exercise. And that's why the City of Boston, in our case, used it as the club to censor free speech. That's why the Bremerton School District in the Coach Kennedy case used it as the club to censor his prayer or his speech on the football field. And the Supreme Court finally, this week, buried the so-called Lemon Test once and for all. Mm-hmm. It's gone. So in this term, we have the First Amendment Free Speech Clause, Free Exercise Clause, strengthened. the Establishment Clause, going back to its original intent, they said we're going to have to use original history and understanding of the meaning of the Establishment Clause. No longer are we going to put these judicial man-made glosses on it to kind of reinvent or, frankly, pervert the Establishment Clause. Great wins for all the different clauses of the First Amendment. This has been an incredible run from March 2 until this past Monday.
And Matt, these you know, going back here to some of the comments from the founders and original intent, that's really bothered President Biden. And I mean, he has he's talked about how archaic this is, and going back, you know, all these many years to establish this, but. Matt, we've got it. We can't lose our founding documents. I mean, that's what he's seeking to do here, is to get away from those founding documents, and that would destroy this nation.
You know, it's like putting paint on top of paint on top of paint on top of paint on an old building, and then eventually it's just junk, and you have to scrape it off and go down to the foundation and start fresh where it used to be and put a new fresh coat of paint on it. What has happened, it's kind of like, for the Jewish rabbinical tradition, instead of reading the Torah, instead of reading the Psalms and the prophets, they have these glosses that get put on top of it. And it's a rabbi quoting a rabbi quoting a rabbi quoting a rabbi. And so you never get to the original text. What's happened with the Constitution is some of the activist justices in the 1950s and 60s, particularly under the Warren Court, he didn't like the original understanding of the Constitution. So what did he do? He put all these glosses on it, man-made rules. Out of that came the 1971 Lemon Test for the Establishment Clause. Out of that came abortion in 1973. It's all part of that judicial activism era. And so what the Supreme Court now is doing is cleaning house, doing spring cleaning, if you will, chipping away all the junk that the justices placed on top of the Constitution to pervert it, and going closer back to the original understanding, the historical meaning of the Constitution. They did the same thing with the Second Amendment case last week. So we have a historicism, an originalism that's ultimately taking root that is a good development. It means that they have to look at and say what the Constitution really says rather than invent it on their own.
Well, and then again, another 6-3 ruling came out last, I believe it was last week, Tuesday, Matt, on school choice, Carson versus Macon.
Yeah, that's another one. And so in that case, the Maine has a program where you can get a school voucher for some of these rural areas where they don't have certain secondary schools, and you can take that voucher to either attend a private school or maybe a nearby in another area public school. You're going to have to pay for the transportation to get there, but you can use that voucher however you want to do it. But you couldn't use it for a Christian or religious school. The Supreme Court ultimately ruled that that was unconstitutional. It's not an establishment of religion. It's not a violation of the Establishment Clause to give the same money to the parent, and the parent makes a choice. Public school in another location, private school in a nearby location, or religious school in a nearby location. Let's just let the parents decide, and the state's not going to violate the Constitution as they had been doing in Maine for so many years.
It's really coming down to Constitution 101, isn't it?
It really comes down to the original understanding and getting closer to the original meaning of the Constitution. And in fact, that's what Thomas said, that any bans on weapons in the Second Amendment case last week has to comport with the history of the Second Amendment, pure and simple.
Friends, just a reminder here through Crosstalk, we've got a copy of the Constitution in this little booklet called Documents of Freedom. It also includes the Declaration of Independence. The Bill of Rights are in here, all the amendments, George Washington's farewell address. We make these available just for the donation of $5 to help cover the expense of the document, as well as shipping it to you. That is all included. It's available by contacting our switchboard at 1-800-729-9829. Just ask for Documents of Freedom. That's 800-729-9829. Matt, and I know we, on another program, another guest discussed the Second Amendment issue that was also handed down recently from the court, but that, again, was getting back to the basics of the Constitution.
Yeah, it's just getting back to the basics of the Constitution. New York had a law that says that you could apply for a concealed weapons permit, but it was a may rather than a shall. In other words, You may get it if they deem that you have demonstrated a specific cause to have it. So you have to convince them as to the need to have your Second Amendment rights protected. And if they don't think that you have a need, then they deny it. That was struck down. That's going to affect a number of states, including the District of Columbia. The decision written by Justice Clarence Thomas said there's no other constitutional provision, the First Amendment, the Sixth Amendment. You don't have to show a special need in order to get protection under those amendments, and neither do you have to do that under the Second Amendment. So it struck it down, and it said any other restrictions on the right to bear arms under the Second Amendment, particularly for self-defense, it has to comport with the history and traditions of the Constitution and the Second Amendment. The same thing that they said with the Establishment Clause on Monday. It has to comport with the history and the background, the original understanding of the Establishment Clause. That's what they said in the Coach Kennedy case. So all of it is moving back to more originalism. They're not quite there yet, but certainly these are huge steps. Everything that we've fought for at Liberty Council since it was founded in 1989, Anita and I founded it, and even before that when I worked on these issues before founding Liberty Council, came to fruition in a two-month period from May the 2nd until June 27 on Monday. And that is strengthening the free speech clause, strengthening the free exercise clause, taking this Establishment Clause gloss of the Lemon Test and overturning that. That has been done, and overturning these terrible abortion decisions that have no basis in the Constitution, and that's been done as well.
Matt Staver with us today. Matt, just one more issue before we get to the Title IX, and that was a decision that came down yesterday from the New York Supreme Court that struck down a law that allowed non-citizens to vote.
Yeah, and that's just a common sense decision. It was a crazy law that says that if you're a non-citizen, you have the right to vote in these local elections. I mean, how ridiculous is that? That you can actually be a non-citizen of the United States and you vote in these local elections. Mm-hmm. The state court said that was unlawful to do that and struck it down. That's a good decision.
Friends, we're covering a number of issues today that have come down from the courts and also examining what's going on in this administration. And Matt, we're just going to get this one introduced here before the break, but we've already had a program on the landmark victory that you had, 9-0, regarding the city of Boston that violated the First Amendment by not allowing the Christian flag to fly when other flags were. But there's another issue that we must bring to the forefront, and that's the deliberate decimation, in my opinion, of the Biden administration of Title IX. I mean, Title IX was put in place really to protect girls. Now it's being redefined by the Biden administration to decimate them, and to think they made this move on the 50th anniversary of Title IX. Tell us what's happening.
Yeah, Title IX was designed to provide equal opportunity for women in sports, and it's done an incredible work in that respect, because now you have women in all different levels of sports, and some of them go on to be professional as a result of these opportunities to be able to participate in sports, and some of those provide scholarships for their education at the college level. And that obviously has really benefited women and girls throughout the many past 50 years. Now what the Biden administration is doing is they're turning it on its head and say, well, you don't really have to be a woman. You can actually be a man and therefore think that you're a woman, pretend that you're a woman, and actually participate and devastate women's sports that way. It's just a complete reversal of Title IX.
It is a reversal, and friends, we'll come back to discuss this further. Matt Staver from Liberty Council, their website, lc.org. It is really turning it up on its end here, and girls are being targeted. I mean, the decimation of girl sports is underway, and it's being done by this administration. Back in 1 minute.
From the invention of writing, this world has been mostly ruled by kings. Power which concentrates into the hands of one person often rewards his friends, though, and punishes his enemies. The King of England was the most powerful king this planet had seen. So when Americans got the chance, they set up a government as far from a king as possible. A republic where the people are king, ruling through their representatives. How do republics rise and fall? How did 45 countries fall to communist dictators? Are these tactics used in America today? These and other issues are addressed in the book, Who is the King in America? By William Federer. This book provides the reader with an overview of 6,000 years of history and why America is unique. discover the keys to preserving the freedoms of America's Republic. Who is the King in America? It's available for a donation of $18 or more. Ask for it when you call 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
Friends, you're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Don't give up. Don't say, oh, it's time to go to slumber because now Roe v. Wade's been overturned by the court. No, folks, the battle is very much underway. A spiritual battle is underway. And the battle really goes down to every single state. And it's going on in our home state of Wisconsin right now. Just before the program, the attorney general announcing a lawsuit that he has filed against our abortion law that's been on the records here since right after we were formed as a state. The year 1849, the leaders of our state saw it necessary to protect the unborn, and they did so. And now he's trying to overturn that. Matter of fact, just yesterday it was as well. The city of Milwaukee, a team of aldermen just put together through a committee a resolution to fight against this and to overturn this and to lobby against the abortion law here in the state of Wisconsin. So don't disengage. It's very critical to be involved in not only in your contacts and elections, but also in your prayers as well. Matt Staver is with us today from Liberty Counsel. And friends, just before Matt comes back on here, I'd like you to go to their website, lc.org, and you'll scroll. If you go all the way down to the bottom, you'll learn about Liberty Counsel. They have an about section. They have things on the sanctity of human life, religious freedom, family, and other. But they have a little button there that says sign up to stay informed. And you click on that, and you're going to be informed when things are happening and breaking loose here around the country. They are on top of it at Liberty Counsel. You'll be getting email alerts and information about matters that are going on. So you'll find that at lc.org. Scroll down. It's kind of a brown section at the bottom of the page. Sign up to stay informed. You click on that, you'll be able to do that. And Matt, that's just a service that Liberty Counsel has available.
Yeah, absolutely. And it'll get you up to date with a lot of issues because there's different communication vehicles we have, different emails and so forth. But if you sign up on that, you'll have a lot of information to keep up with what's going on and a way to be able to respond as well.
Matt, we were talking about Title IX here going into that break here, and this being put in place by the Biden administration, the 50th anniversary of Title IX. I understand that this may not be only about sports, but we're talking like locker rooms and restrooms as well?
Yeah. Yeah, it's not just sports. It's locker rooms, restrooms. So what they're saying is that if you're going to get federal funding, which, you know, most schools do because they get student loans, this students get loans, and then they choose what school to go to. And so,
even in high schools, they're getting like lunch programs and things like that that have federal money going.
Right. They're even threatening that they'll stop your lunch programs for like free breakfast or subsidized lunches or any kind of other federal funds that come to these schools. So whether it's colleges, whether it's high schools, secondary schools, for example, this means that in order to continue receiving that funding, you'll have to not only allow boys to decimate girls in the sports, but allow boys to go into the bathrooms, into the locker rooms, into the dressing rooms. And if you start to question, well, are you really a girl? Or do you really think you're a girl? Or are you just pretending and you want to just be able to be in these women's and girls' facilities? Even questions like that, they're going to come after you to say, oh, well, that's discriminatory to ask such a question. So this is really terrible. I mean, I think the worst kind of analogy you can look at this in terms of how mean it is they're saying, look, you either choose between school lunches or you choose between allowing boys to go into the girls' restrooms, locker rooms, completely undressed, just like any, just like they would be in a boys' restroom or locker room or shower room.
Matt, isn't he in essence placing a portion of the so-called Equality Act, into practice here just by executive action?
Yeah, that's what he's trying to do. This needs to be challenged. It will be challenged, no doubt, by many of these schools and states. This is just one of the many challenges against this administration. And the administration has lost most of these challenges that they've created. But, yeah, because they can't get the so-called Equality Act passed in Congress, they don't have enough votes, they're trying to bypass the legislative system and move directly to put this into some kind of executive order and then move from there to put it into some kind of proposed administrative regulation.
And one other issue here, and right now we observe this world. I mean, this world's on the powder keg right now, nation after nation preparing their troops for battle. But our nation, Matt, and our military is focused on, you know, giving critical race theory training to our troops and inclusive language training. I'm going to play just a brief clip of a Navy training video on teaching about pronouns. It made me almost think about seeing a Blue's Clues episode, but here's part of that training video for our Navy.
Hi, my name is Johnny, and I use he, him pronouns.
Hi, and I am Conchi, and I use she, her pronouns.
And we're here to talk about pronouns.
What is a pronoun? A pronoun is how we identify ourselves apart from our name, and it's also how people refer to us in conversations.
Using the right pronouns is a really simple way to affirm someone's identity. It is a signal of acceptance and respect.
If it's a signal of acceptance and respect, how do we go about creating a safe space for everybody?
That's a good question. A really good way to do that is to use inclusive language. Instead of saying something like, hey guys, you can say, hey everyone, or hey team.
Yeah, and now that you say that, another way that we could show that we're allies and that we accept everybody is to maybe include our pronouns in our emails, or like we just did, introduce ourselves using our pronouns.
It goes on for a couple minutes after this, Matt, but really, is this what we're needing to train our military? I mean, this is not about strategic weaponry. It's not about, you know, even the camaraderie as such as far as inclusiveness as our unit, but rather we're teaching about pronouns?
Yeah, and this being taught to our men and women in the military at the same time while they're threatening to discharge them, discipline them, and fine them if they don't take the COVID shot because of their religious objection. They're pushing this in the military. Can you imagine that right now? And if you look at Israel, Israel does a lot of things wrong in so many respects with regards to abortion. We've been talking about that subject matter. But on this issue of the so-called transgender, you know, they opened up their military some time ago to that. However, they're now closing it. Why? Because they're getting so many problems and complaints. Naturally, it's like, duh, what'd you expect? Mm-hmm. So now they realize, oops, we've made a mistake. And they're going to reverse what they've been doing in the past. And that's unfortunately what's happening here. But despite the morale that is affected, despite military readiness that's ultimately affected, this administration will just push forward because it's their ideological agenda, and they're wanting to use the military as their way to force that agenda on the American people, and particularly our men and women in the armed services.
Our number to crosstalk today, 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. Matt, by the way, what is happening right now with that military mandate on the jab?
Well, this week we're actually filing additional complaints in the court. We're adding additional plaintiffs, and so we will be pressing first and foremost right now for class action certification and protection for the Marines. And then we'll be working on each other category right after that as well. Air Force, Army, Coast Guard, you name it, we're moving forward with all of them. Our injunctions are still outstanding, but it's not enough. We've got to get the injunctions for all the men and women in all the different categories of the military, and that's what our goal is. So in the next few weeks and certainly into July, we're going to be very busy with some additional activity.
Well, friends, our lines are already packed, and we'll pick up as many calls as we can here during this segment of Crosstalk, and we thank you for tuning in. We're going to begin in West Dallas, Wisconsin. Brad, you're on the air.
Hey, Brother Jim. I just wanted to address the thing about people whining about the court taking away rights. Look, abortion was never a right. It was an artificial right, and I'll put right in quotations. It was cooked up to make the baby killers happy. That's all it was. And all the court did was put the rule of law back in motion and send it to the states. Now, the thing I have is, I'm just wondering, I haven't heard anything one way or the other regarding this new gun bill that the fake president just signed into fake law. Is there a lawsuit against this unconstitutional thing, or that you, any of you know about?
Yeah, no, good question. Well, and in fact, I agree with you on your point about Roe. It wasn't taking away a right. There was no constitutional right to begin with there in the first place. It was not part of the Constitution. Regarding this new gun law, we really pushed back against it. Fortunately, a number of the bad provisions were not in the final one, but it still has some bad ones with regards to the red flag law. There is no lawsuit against that yet, but I anticipate one forthcoming, and I think the decision coming out last week is going to give some basis for that challenge, the one on the New York concealed weapon case. There's some great language in that decision from last week.
Great.
Thank you, Brad.
The other thing I would say, too, is watch during the budget meetings. We're going to be monitoring that because during the budget meetings, you only need 51 votes, and that's when they're going to start putting out some of these amendments.
Yeah.
To try to make the gun law, which they weren't able to get, try to put those along with the budget. So the battle is certainly not over on that issue.
Thanks, Brad. Pastor Mark in Missouri, you're on the air.
I was an accident child in 1953. My mother was older. My father was older. And she was a businesswoman. She had told my wife at one point that had abortion been an option in 1953, she would have aborted me. It didn't occur until 1973, so thankfully I was prior to 73. But the thing I want to point out is, as a pastor and being in ministry for 40 years, I've seen, my wife and I in our ministry have seen hundreds and hundreds of people come to Christ, and I'm thankful that I was birthed because that's an eternal situation where people, because my wife and I have been willing to obey the Lord Jesus Christ and proclaim the gospel that Paul says, the gospel that saves. I look at that and I stop and I say, think of the people out of the 64 million that have been killed in the last 49 years, murdered, slaughtered. Someone could have found the cure for cancer. Someone could have been able to lead the very one that you are so grieved about that's lost and going to hell. One of those people could have led one of your members of your family that may have passed on and gone to hell, led them to Christ. Mm-hmm. There's so many things that we've missed out on, but God is angered at what's going on with abortion. And I can't imagine what it's going to be like on the day of judgment for mm-hmm. those that have just decided that life isn't precious. He knit us in our mother's womb. I challenge you to read Psalm 139. But I just wanted to give that testimony because I'm an example of one that would have been put to death had it been 1973. Yet God has used my wife and I in powerful ways to see people come to Christ. So anyway, I just wanted to pass it along. It does hurt as I talk about it.
Thank you, Pastor Mark, and praise God for your life being spirit. And Matt, what a great point Pastor Mark makes in all of this. And the eternal destiny of many has been impacted by his being alive.
Yes, for sure. In fact, I just saw a video today. It's somebody that we know in Washington, D.C., and he had a real strong urge to go film in front of the Supreme Court on Friday just before the decision was handed down. He was post-73. His mom wanted to abort him, and there's other circumstances decided she did not get the abortion. And so now he's there, and he films this, and he otherwise wouldn't have been there.
Yeah.
And he was just breaking down and sobbing that he got the opportunity to film this historic moment when the Supreme Court handed down this decision.
Wow. We've got a quick break here, folks, and we'll come back to more of your phone calls on Crosstalk. Matt Staver with us from Liberty Counsel. LC.org is our website. We're talking about the recent decisions from the Supreme Court, also the hijacking of Title IX. So we'll be back with more after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Recently, Lawrence Sullen was on my radio show. He's a retired U.S. Army Reserve colonel, along with Bill Federer. They're warning about the fact that Joe Biden is turning the U.S. military against the American people. He's purging the military. He's used the COVID vaccine shots to do it, not honoring religious exemptions. He used critical race theory to do it, and the different branches of the military even had stand-down orders while they purge people out who would not agree with or celebrate the LGBTQ agenda. Why would anyone purge the military? Because they have plans to use the military against the American people. History backs this up. So what do we do? Colonel Sullen, in his latest article, is saying we need a state guard. He's not talking about a national guard. He's talking about an individual state guard, such as they have now in Florida and Texas. Why? To defend against a tyrannical central government. I'm Brandon House.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and Matt Stavers with us from Liberty Counsel, reviewing not only the reversal of Roe v. Wade, but many other decisions as well, and Title IX. So much on the docket here today. Let's get right back to the phone lines. Reggie has been holding the longest in Delavan, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hi there. I'm so grateful for you guys. Anyway, I have a question about these people that's here illegally, and they can't vote. How are they going to monitor that? We're going to have IDs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, as far as the people that are coming across the southern border you're talking about, how are they going to monitor them? The fact of the matter is it doesn't seem like they are monitoring them. They give them a court date, but they don't show up. They don't know where these people are because they dispersed them all over the United States. It's a mess.
Yeah, it's a mess. But
the voting, though, in New York, how do they monitor who's legal and who's not?
Well, they give them issued IDs, and my belief, Matt, is that they have something that says non-citizen or something that's mark on it. But
that's right. But they're definitely a non-citizen, and they have some kind of issued ID, and they allowed them to vote. No more, because the court struck that down.
Yeah. Thank you for the call. Tanya in Wheelersburg, Ohio, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm just wanting to comment on the Roe versus Wade and the comment that Justice Thomas made that he would like to see the overturn of the gay marriage. Mm-hmm. Well, if that happens, I was thinking that I would be suspicious of the rise of the Noahide laws because, you know, those two are included
the right of
in
which
that.
One? Sorry about that.
Which
I didn't
law?
Catch that.
I would be suspicious if they overturn the gay marriage. I would be thinking, is this the rise of the Noahide laws, the seven universal laws? Because we know both of those are in those laws. And, of course, it says that we cannot blaspheme God, which really means that we cannot pray in Jesus' name, because we know the Noahide laws that are the seven universal laws.
Okay. Any comment on that, Matt?
No, I don't think that overturning same-sex marriage would have anything to do with that. I do want to say something about some of the media that says, well, you know what, his comment would overturn the interracial marriage. Well, that's just nonsense. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's actually involved in an interracial marriage. His wife is white, he's black. And the old interracial marriage was segregation that Virginia put into every aspect of their society. This was the Jim Crow Democrats putting segregation into everything, including marriage, and that would be impermissible under the Equal Protection Clause and also the discrimination based on race, that race is protected under the Constitution. We've had a constitutional amendment to that effect.
Let's go to David in Hillsboro, Illinois. You're on the air, David.
Yeah, hi, guys. Something I don't hear people mention very often, if at all, is the fact that, I mean, we do hear that abortion is murder, and I totally agree with that. But what about murder for hire? If a woman pays someone to kill her child, that's murder for hire. And so I would just love to see states start addressing that and maybe passing some laws against abortion that said if someone pays a medical person to murder their child in the womb, they could be charged with murder.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think that will come. Right now, some of these particular laws, they will target the doctor who participates in it. And I think, you know, with these corporations wanting to pay to kill an unborn child, I think they're complicit in that murder. And They're going to either be directed, they're going to be covered by some of these state laws, or there's going to be laws that address that. But it is nothing short of murder for hire.
Yeah, and so you think that may be down the road then, Matt?
I do think it's okay. Down the road, and I think it may be implicit in some of the laws that are already there. And that's the reason why you see, you know, some of these companies pulling back on some of the abortion things that they're doing.
Hmm. Thank you, David, for raising that.
Yep, you're welcome. Thanks.
Let's go to Philip next in Washington. Philip, you're on the air.
Thank you. I would like to suggest that what we need to do as a nation is to make an appeal to heaven for America. Hmm. Now, there's a book that's about 18 pages long that gives all the prayers. It's praying the Bible for everything you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Every issue you're talking about, mm-hmm. it's written by Dr. Chuck and Joe Harding, mm-hmm. who are missionaries to Washington. They talk to the inside people. They know what's going on. These people in Washington are spending extra time every night to walk the streets of Washington and pray for God to heal our land.
Thank you, Philip. And we totally agree. And, Matt, I know you've got team members that are doing that right in D.C. as well.
Yeah, we do. So, yeah, put them in touch with us, please. You can go to our website, lc.org, or call our phone number, which Jim will give out later at the end of the program. But, yeah, because we have an ongoing ministry in Washington, D.C., and we have this ongoing prayer all the time in Washington, D.C. It's an amazing ministry that is happening there. So we want to be in touch with everybody else who's doing the same thing.
Thank you. And continue earnestly in prayer. Thank you, Philip.
Absolutely.
One final call. Anthony in Eagle, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hello, thanks. I'd just like to mention one brief thing about Roe v. Wade. I was reading an article this morning in the news about some conservatives being surprised that in some states, some abortions are allowed. I just kind of wanted to remind people that just because the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, that doesn't mean it's completely illegal.
Right.
It's now
right.
up to each and individual state's legislation to decide how much abortion is going to be allowed, or will it be completely free to roam around the state, or will it be completely abolished?
Indeed, indeed.
You're right. You're exactly right. And that's why the battle for life has just intensified, not only in Congress now, but also on the state levels, both in the legislature as well as in the courts.
Thank you so very much for your call. We're out of time. Matt Staver with us from Liberty Council. And again, folks, I encourage you to go to lc.org, sign up there, send your email address so that you can stay informed on these issues. You may also reach Liberty Council at 407-875-1776. They're actually, Matt, you're juggling many balls there right now at Liberty Council, many different issues going on. And friends, your help for Liberty Council is so appreciated. 407-875-1776. But Matt, this has been shouting material, you know, to praise God for
really
some
is.
Of these things that have taken place.
This is historic. So many people prayed and worked for these days to see them, and here we are. It's an amazing turn of events that's happened in the last 2 months and even in the last week.
But the battle is not over.
Incredible time, incredible opportunity.
And the battle is not over, though.
No, not at all. In fact, the battle's just intensified. So don't think, on the one hand, we rejoice. On the other hand, we go back to work right away, and we intensify our activity.
Matt Staver with us here today. Again, that's lc.org. Their phone number, 407-875-1776. Matt, thank you again for being with us.
Thank you, Jim. Good to be with you.
And friends, keep Liberty Council in your prayers. They've got many, many issues that they are engaged in right now, fighting for your religious liberty and First Amendment rights. God bless you, folks. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.